Alice Palmer, who is an occupational therapist who's worked predominantly with older people, previously in the aged care assessment teams, and currently is the senior occupational therapist with the Hunter New England Specialist Mental Health Service for Older People. She's also a conjoint lecturer at the University of Newcastle, and today she's going to be speaking to us about aged care makeover. So welcome, Alice.
I like these titles.
It's not about facials. I'll just start by giving you a taste of what I'll be talking to you about this afternoon. This is about people with dementia in residential aged care facilities, and how often boredom can be related to what we call difficult behaviours. I'll mention some of the problems with how difficult behaviours are usually managed, and I'll walk you through a project that I led to try to change the environment rather than the people to make it more stimulating. So I'm talking about taking this kind of environment, a typical aged care facility, and turning it into a place where there are always familiar things to do and distract. But I'll show you some more photos later and explain it as we move along. So just to give you some background, our team within the service sees clients with dementia, depression or delirium who exhibit difficult behaviours. We assess the causes and make recommendations. They're often people in aged care facilities, where staff are having trouble managing them, and the kinds of behaviours I'm talking about are things like pacing, wandering, exit seeking, aggression. I don't want to oversimplify the issue because there are lots of causes for these kinds of behaviours. But we often find that agitated type behaviours occur during the time of the day when there's no structured activity going on, so no meals, no showers, no organised group activities. And it seems to be due to lack of appropriate stimulation from the environment, or boredom if you like. Now, in their own homes, these are people who used to have chores and chores to do, things to do to occupy them, but living in a facility, staff do all the personal care, all the cleaning, laundry, meals, etc. So residents can be left feeling useless and often bored. Add to that having dementia, which can mean that they have trouble making sense of who they are, where they are, what they're supposed to be doing, and that can mean that they have more trouble coping with lack of stimulation and lack of cues in the environment around them, and some of them then respond with difficult behaviours. Now, because there's evidence that activity and stimulation can reduce these behaviours, our reports often recommend that residents be given meaningful chores to do, for example, that staff could ask the resident to help them with something in order to distract or redirect them, rather than just reprimanding them. So, for example, they could give them a basket of laundry and ask them to help sort it out. We often find, though, that the resources aren't on hand. Seems to be nobody's job to go and get a laundry basket. The staff are time limited, and they would often see those kinds of recommendations as just unrealistic. I came across an inspiration though. It was a Melbourne-based project done by an OT who made a long-stay inpatient unit for people with dementia and behaviours more stimulating. So she designed and installed what she called activity stations around the unit based on homely, familiar themes, with the aim of promoting what she called spontaneous engagement. So instead of just the scheduled group activities, residents could engage with these activity stations at any time of day. She didn't do much evaluation and there was nothing published, but it gave her the idea to implement that kind of project in an aged care facility, partly as an opportunity to actually see some of the recommendations that we made put into practice, and also the opportunity to do a bit of a study and try to do a reasonable evaluation. So I came across a local aged care facility that had an RN and a manager who were really keen to improve quality of life for their residents and happy to work together on that kind of project. It was a low-care facility with a total of 8 units. 4 of them were dementia-specific. So we decided that we could implement the changes in 2 dementia-specific units with 26 residents and use the other 2 units as a control or comparison group. Now, the process that I went through, I reviewed resident profiles, looking for past interests, work histories, give me ideas for items or activities to use. I surveyed the actual facility for usable spaces that would compromise safety, held meetings with the staff and residents' families to explain the project, gained their input, field questions. We worked out exactly what we needed and where we could get things at low or no cost, and then we held a workshop to implement the changes. So again, we went from a typical looking facility, not bad, but quite hospital-like. It had a common kitchen bench, but it apparently wasn't used. It had nice outdoor spaces. Again, residents apparently hardly used them. And we added some pizzazz. So we used bright colours, moving objects to try and attract attention and create interest in the outdoors. We parked a real car in one of the courtyards for residents to sit in it, lean on it, talk about it, wash it or polish it. We put in raised garden beds for residents and visitors to do gardening together. We turned some unused outdoor storage rooms that had nothing in them into activity stations. We took off the doors so that residents could see that there were interesting things inside. And we made two of them into garden sheds and one of them into a tool shed. We also put signs at each of the activity stations with suggestions on how they could be used by residents, staff and visitors. And we made the last shed into an old-fashioned laundry with a clothesline outside. We got a chook pen with chooks. That created jobs for people to do. They needed feeding, cleaning up after. We had a quiet reading area with books and a lamp as a place for residents to come to de-escalate and get away from TV and noise. Box of scarves that needed sorting, and staff would periodically come along and mess it up again. An office desk. A sewing area and a knitting area at the ends of corridors. They had loose fabrics, knitting that had been started but not finished. We parked a dressing table in two different corridors full of costume beads and jewellery that could be fiddled with, tried on, taken, it didn't matter. Hats and scarves at the doors to suggest the idea of going outside. We dangled decorations from the ceiling at the end of the corridors above activity stations to draw residents along to investigate. And we had pockets of different textured fabrics hanging on the walls that could be fiddled with, stuffed into people's pockets, it didn't matter. That's an interactive mural on the wall that had movable Velcro parts. That pre-existing kitchen bench and sink, we made it look more like a home kitchen with things for residents to actually come and do, potatoes that needed peeling, dishes to wash. Created a music nook with nostalgic records and sheet music. We put a door on the wall that had locks and latches for people who like to fiddle.
And we've got audio.
Should I pause? Is that a problem?
Thank you. No, that's
it. And that's me with the facility manager and the RN who were instrumental in driving the project. Now I'll walk you through the results of our evaluation.
But we have audio.
Sounds like they've missed out on the photo. That's a shame. Can I keep moving?
Yeah.
Okay. Firstly, from the perspective of staff, were surveyed before and after the implementation. Now, before, they generally agreed the environment was boring, the residents were bored, there was too much TV watching, and they thought that the group activities run by staff were engaging for some residents, but it's not possible to run them all the time, and they didn't cater for everyone. I expected the staff would be quite resistant to any changes, but after the information sessions, as you can see, they were almost all feeling quite positive. And after the implementation, they were also quite positive in their feedback. So staff said the stations had wider appeal. They told me about one lady who had previously never left her room, and now she was happily coming out and hanging washing on the line. They said there are at least three residents occupied every day cleaning up after the chooks. The staff agreed that the changes were a good distraction from agitation. There was one particularly agitated resident previously who was now constantly sitting in the car, rifling through the glove box, washing up at the kitchen, hanging clothes on the line. So the staff agreed it was a handy tool for them to redirect residents to the jewellery or the washing up or to sort the scarves to distract them. And there were only a few negative comments, things like the cold weather, they felt deterred residents from going outside, and a few items not actually working. All staff felt that the changes had made a positive impact on quality of life and stimulation for residents, and they also felt that the changes helped them manage difficult behaviours better. Now, to look at the response from family members, I surveyed family members of the residents before and after, and almost all said that they felt the changes had improved quality of life and stimulation for residents. I'll read you some of the comments that they wrote. there brings them a little of the outside world into their world, like they used to live or do. Although the activities officers give stimulation, it's basically just entertainment. The work-related activities are a continuation from what they've done all their lives. Having things in the hallways gives me something to discuss with Mum. She loved beads and sewing, and I can talk to her about these. I was often at a loss as to what to talk about, as she's not interested in the television. And according to the staff, families didn't used to bring their children in when they visited because they'd get bored, but now they were bringing them in because they like to see the chooks. As well as the staff and family feedback, we also conducted behavioural observations of the residents. So we took observations in both the project units and the control units to gain some quantitative measures. That involved staff from my service spending 2 hours each afternoon for 5 days observing behaviour. We did that before the changes and again 2 weeks after the project was implemented. We chose the same time window each day to observe what residents were doing when there was no structured activity going on. And we categorised people's behaviour under labels such as watching TV, sitting looking bored, engaging in a stimulating activity, that kind of thing. These are some of the behaviours that changed notably after the project was implemented. So we can see a clear reduction in the number of residents sitting looking bored and watching TV, an increase in the number of residents engaging enjoyable or stimulating activity, having conversations and interacting in a positive manner with staff. Now, we considered any decrease in negative behaviour would be a good thing, and any increase in positive behaviour would be a good thing. So we came up with this ratio that captures both of those and shows an overall improvement as a result of the project. So you can see there's a 73% improvement on the project unit. There was a slight improvement on the control unit. Now, although we didn't do anything on the control unit, there are a couple of changes that happened outside our control. For example, there was one really agitated resident that was actually moved out. So that would have looked like an improvement then. Nonetheless, there's clearly a significant improvement in observed behaviour on the project unit. This shows popularity of the activity stations as rated by staff in blue and from our observations in yellow. This is really good feedback because some of the things I thought would be really popular just weren't. For me though, the most interesting thing is that the chooks were by far the most popular. And that got me wondering if that's perhaps because the chooks are alive, or if that's because they need people to care for them. So I think that's an interesting area that should be investigated for future improvements in aged care, that looking into the impact that animals have on people. In terms of limitations, there were activity stations that might have improved mood and enjoyment of surroundings generally, but the observations couldn't measure that, so just like colours and photos and paintings on walls, for example. Some changes occurred during the facility during the observation period, as I mentioned, so the agitated resident that was moved. There weren't enough people engaging in some of the agitated behaviours to allow for statistically significant findings. And there was a 6-month evaluation done, but it had several limitations, so I didn't use that data. So you could say the long-term effect of the project isn't conclusive. Some ideas for the future of this project though. We've already begun implementing similar changes in the two other dementia-specific units at that facility. I'd also like to see Anglican Care, the organisation that runs that facility, take the project to all their facilities, and I'd like to see other organisations catch on, get jealous. We're working on an instruction manual or toolkit to be able to share, and I think it's a flexible concept that could be adapted to day centres and even non-dementia settings. So in summary, I think it's certainly a different approach to managing aged care and managing difficult behaviours in aged care, and I think it's been successful. The resident reaction's been really positive, and staff and family have been really positive, and that's given us excellent feedback to continue to promote projects like this in the future. So. Thank you. Any questions?
Hi, I was just wondering if you was there any increase in the number of falls if there were more active, walking on grass?
No, actually, we didn't look at falls before or afterwards. I can't comment on that. We did wonder if the use of the outdoor areas would increase in warmer weather. We looked at that and it did.
I was going to, there's definitely psychological research about improving mood with residents who are given a plant to look after versus, so there's been a randomised controlled trial, I think half the residents were given a plant that they had to look after and then the other half were given a plant that they didn't look after it. And there were differences in people who were looking after something.
Yep.
Had, I think, longer life expectancy, like quite amazing results. And also similar results from a fish tank.
Yep.
So just for thought for your research.
That's really interesting. That brings into play a number of things. Feeling needed, having a job to do.
Exactly.
Something
having
relying on you.
To get up in the morning if you can't remember what it is until someone reminds you.
Yep. If you remember the photo, there's some sores hanging on the wall. They're actually fixed there with table ties. So, and there was some fishing gear but no hook. So we did keep safety in mind when putting those things in. The things that you can actually take out and fiddle with are things like nuts and bolts. We looked at things that would give repetitive behaviour because a lot of people with advanced dementia can only do sort of repetitive behaviours. It's also something that you need to consider based on who your residents are at the time and what particular risk factors you know of for those residents. So for the residents that were there, there seemed to be no risk that they were actually going to intentionally grab a tool to hurt another resident. There's also the familiarity of those tools. So the blokes that are going to go into that shed and tinker around with those things, those tools are going to trigger long-term memories. So chances are they're going to have some sense of what those tools are for. I think it's a case-by-case basis. We also considered not obstructing walkways and handrails and exits, things like that. All the things that we brought in were cheap or free. It didn't matter if residents took any of the things, stuffed them in their pockets, took them to their bedrooms. It didn't matter. They could all be easily replaced. So the idea was that these things, you didn't need staff supervision for these things, that residents could freely interact spontaneously. It wasn't something that needed to be organised by staff, with a few exceptions. I mean, we did train staff with the idea of prompting the residents to go and use these things. The staff could use them as a tool as well, but it wasn't mandatory that staff needed to supervise or be involved.
Thanks. I think
you've given
us all some food for thought. I'm really keen to look at things like this in the acute care area, especially with psychogeriatric wards, that we look down to patients with dementia and delirium to prevent delirium. One of the barriers I've come across has been staff attitude, and sometimes staff saying, especially with children, because I've had a third, just giving us more jobs to do down for a lookout. Did you have any negativity from any of the staff?
Yeah.
The things we're trying to do?
And handing it over. So thinking back to those surveys, one staff member said, I think it's going to create more jobs for us to do. And someone else said, oh, I don't think we need to change anything. Giving the education before I did the survey, just before we did the project, really helped. So I knew I would need to get staff on board. Part of my job is to give education to staff in aged care facilities all the time about dementia and difficult behaviours. And I come up against a lot of resistance to these kinds of flowery, unrealistic OT ideas. Education helps. I think it's an ongoing battle though, and as staff turnover happens, it's going to be up to the manager and senior staff at that facility to keep perpetuating the philosophy of this concept. But it's really hard because in aged care facilities, as some of you would know, they're some of our lowest paid, lowest educated members of healthcare, really. And so it's a real barrier. Some people have attitudes. One or two staff members really didn't want chooks. In fact, one staff member was dead against the chooks. So I'm not touching them. That's just going to make more work for us. And that staff member came along to the working bee, which was really helpful, and actually ended up helping with the chooks. I don't know what was going on there.
I think we've got one more question.
Yeah, this seems to be a very interesting challenge to take on, as you referred to the staff area. But it would seem that this may well be an area where volunteers from the retired community could be engaged in helping their families.
Yeah.
Because one day they'll be there, or maybe. In an area where I'm increasingly coming forward with long-term retirement, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is going to be a sort of halfway house.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting, actually. There's some sort of ladies' guild attached to Anglican Care, and they donated some items and some money towards the project as well. And then they also came through after we'd made all the changes to have a look. And they were clucking like a bunch of hens about it. They thought it was fabulous. And yeah, some of those comments about, ooh, we want to make sure we come here when we go to an aged care facility. So I'd like to see every aged care facility looking like that. Some of my family members that I took through said, oh, I didn't realise aged care facilities weren't like this all the time. Why wouldn't they be? It just makes sense.
Yeah.